Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, my beautiful friends. How are you? It has been a while since we have connected in this way through the podcast. I ended up taking off much of August from the podcast. I did not take it off, but I did take it off from the podcast. And you know what? I didn't plan for it, but it felt right. I know that many of you were on vacation, you were out of office, you were on holiday, you were taking time with family. And I was in deep planning, evaluating, exploring, getting clear mode. And so while I am always sad when summer is coming to a close, I love the energy of September. And I'm so excited for what this month and the next quarter and the next 4 months for the rest of 2024 is going to bring for all of us and for all the things that we can create in the time that we have. And so, yeah, I'm feeling really energized, and I hope that you all are too. Today on the podcast, I have a beautiful, inspiring, also energizing, speaking of the word energized, an energizing interview that I'm going to tell you more about soon. But before that, I wanted to share with you that in the month of July, I hosted a beautiful mini program. It was an experience that I called Unleash Your Feminine Strength. And it was a four-week journey to reconnecting to your inner goddess. And I really created that mini program from a place of inspiration. It just sort of came to me that this was something that I wanted to create and that I wanted to offer to women. Because as women, we are used to being in our masculine energy, in our go, 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 productivity, get things done, be in charge, all the titles, CEO, you know, whether it's of your family or at work or whatever, founder, if you're an entrepreneur, whatever it may be, we are used to that. And what we don't realize is that when we lean into our natural feminine strength, our natural knowing and wisdom, life just feels more enjoyable. We actually step more into our power from an authentic place versus a place of feeling like we're trying to grasp at power. And yeah, it was just such a beautiful thing to lead this small group of women. There was 15 women in this experience. I really loved it, and I know they did too. And it was really a joy, and I hope to offer it again in the future. But one of the things that I created as part of that program was a beautiful 11-minute guided meditation that is all about reconnecting you to your inner goddess and really bringing you back into your power, into that knowing, that wisdom that lives within you. allowing you to remember who you really are. So what I did as a gift to you was I pulled that meditation out of that experience, and I'm offering it to you now. So if you scroll down in the show notes, you'll see a link. Click on that link, put in your email address and name, and you will receive this 11-minute guided meditation. And I really designed this meditation to use in moments. You can use it at any time. First of all, let me say you could use it on a regular basis in the morning, at night, but I designed it to help you going from feeling self-doubt, imposter syndrome, and overwhelm to confident, empowered, and clear. So when I created this meditation, I imagined you in a busy day feeling, maybe for some reason your confidence got dinged, or maybe you, have like a wobble in your power. I wanted you to be able to tune in to this meditation and within 11 minutes feel more empowered, more confident, and clear. At the end of a meditation, there is also some bonus journaling prompts that will help you further connect to your inner goddess. So if you would like to tune into that, just scroll down the show notes. It'll say, get your inner goddess meditation. Click there, put in your name and email address, and you will receive it right away. Okay, so on to today's interview. I am so excited to sit down with Kristen Gale. Kristen is the spirited force, the CEO and founder behind the 10 Spot Beauty Bars. And if you live really anywhere in North America, you're likely to have heard of them or been a client at one. There used to be one right across the street from where I lived, and I would go there all the time to get my nails done, waxing, pedicures, the whole thing. 10 Spot now has 45 and growing, bustling beauty bars across Canada and the US. And Kristen started this business when she was just 24 years old. What I love is that Kristen and I crossed paths when I was a founder of another business. And she and I chat at the beginning about how we met many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, at a Soho House over lunch with my co-founder, and she was with her business partner. And just, you know, how much can happen in 10 years. So Kristen is now in her 40s, and her purpose and passion are all about inspiring and enabling others to live a strategically planned and well-executed life. I really love how Kristen talks about making the most out of life because it is so different from the way I talk about it. And I think that's the beauty of this. There's so many ways to have this conversation, and different approaches resonate with different people. But I have to say, I was really inspired and activated by Kristen's point of view. So Kristen believes that a well-executed life is one filled with purpose, creativity, connection, and the feeling of winning in every aspect of their personal lives. Kristen is actually very soon launching her own program that teaches women how to CEO the shit out of life so they can level up to life at a 10. I love that message. You are going to love this conversation with Kristen. It is raw, it is honest, and it is really inspiring and full of actionable tips on how to live your life at a 10. Let's dive in and welcome Kristen. Welcome, welcome, Kristen, to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here and to get to talk to you again.
I know. I mean, I think this is like, for me, one of the joys of hosting a podcast is I have a reason to reach out to people who I loved connecting with. And, we're busy. We have a lot going on, but I have a reason to reconnect and to have a conversation and to catch up and then share that beautiful conversation with other people. So it's really a blessing.
Amazing.
It's awesome. So good. So Kristen, I wanted to start with like the obvious, right? You are the founder of 10Spot, and we met, I mean, I don't even know that it was early in your journey, because your journey with 10Spot has been long.
So long. I know. It must be at least 15 years though. I'm thinking
yeah.
From when we connected, which would have been, I mean, the 10Spot's 18 now. So
wow, 18 years. Okay. So I know we could do a whole podcast just on your 10Spot journey and like, you know, and that would be so enriching for everyone listening, but I feel like I want to hear about your journey, and I want to hear about how it's evolved. And I know everyone else wants to too, but then I want to get into some other things. So tell us about your journey with 10Spot. I mean, it's so funny because I'm sure that as the years go by, you know, the way you tell the story in like the same number of minutes must just change.
Oh gosh, I know. It's so true. And it also depends, like, you know, what's the, where do we want to go with it? But essentially started with one location when I was 24 years old, grew that for a bit. It really was something different in the market. And mm-hmm. So because of that, we got this cult following right away, and people would, you know, it became this real destination spot in Toronto. And through that success, I then thought, okay, I should build another one, and I'll do it on the other side of town. And then ended up getting married, having baby, moving to Hamilton, and thought, oh, I should put one in Hamilton. Ended mm-hmm. up moving back to the city. And so did a couple more. And then we started franchising, because by that time I was thinking, okay, this is a thing. And this is a really great business model. And I would love to give this opportunity to other like-minded ladies that want to have their own beauty bars. Also mm-hmm. making me feel less alone in building mm-hmm. up the brand and having some people, you know, in it together with me. And then it really took off. That was like, we went, I know that my original goal when I first started the first location was to have 10 spots. And it wasn't, I think, until we were on our 14th that I realized, holy Dinah, like, we actually have surpassed that. So now we're at 44, and then a bunch more that are under construction and opening soon. So I think we'll be at 47 by the end of the year. That's the version of it, minusing all of the, you know, drama and highs and lows and mistakes and wins and all of that stuff along the way. But yeah, that's the super fast version.
Oh my gosh, Kristen, it's truly amazing. Like, it's like such an amazing story and journey, and so inspiring. And I actually do want to dive into one thing, which is, yeah. As you said, there's so many highs and lows in entrepreneurship. And I think sometimes when we hear these stories, these success stories, we are not there. We're not present for the moments where you were like, WTF, like, yeah. You know, like, how am I going to move through this? Or this is really hard. And I think, like, you know, for everyone listening, some are entrepreneurs, many are not. We all face those times, right? Where we feel like, I don't know which way to go, or
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I should just give up. But what
other people know what they're doing? Is this what's happening right now? Yeah,
that's right. And so, like, I don't know if you could share a moment where you felt like that, like where you really felt like, yeah. I don't know if I can keep going.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And it's so funny because, you know, whenever I hear, and I love it. It sounds so nice. It's like, oh, it's so inspiring. And I totally understand that feeling, because when I listen to other people's entrepreneurial journeys as well, I'm just blown away. It's like, oh, you did this giant thing and you sound normal. Like, how did these even, like, what, you know, where, like, help me connect the dots. And I think that's exactly it, is when you're in it, you're just so in it, mm-hmm. and you're doing what you think is the most logical thing next to logical and emotional. Cause I think that there's a lot of, you know, gut feelings and leaps of faith and risk taking in entrepreneurship. But you're just in it. You're like clipping away, and the things that you run up all the time into things that you don't know,
Yeah.
And then you can figure out how to do them. But then there's all of these things that you don't know until you actually hit them. And you're like, oh God, okay, what am I supposed to do right now? And so you just sort of dig in and you figure it out and you find resources and you listen to podcasts and you read books and you talk to humans and you end up sort of figuring out. And so I think that at the high level, it is that, wow. But when you're in it, it's just kind of fumble, you know, like using logic, using emotion, but you're making it up as you go along. Like entrepreneurship is a made up thing. You made up an idea and then you made up how you're going to execute on it. And you're just making stuff up along the way. Yeah. And so I totally understand that because again, you look at so many amazing entrepreneurial stories and seeing this. So to take it back to some of the really eye-opening, holy, I don't want to say swear words. I'm quite a swear word person, but like, holy Dinah, what did I just do? Was I think when we first started franchising.
Uh-huh.
So I had 4 locations already. And then we ended up doing, my husband at the time, spoiler alert, I got divorced. Maybe do as a business stuff. Just kidding. He said, you know, I know that like, he knew that my ambitions were to grow the brand bigger. And so he had a friend of his that was in franchising and he's like, let's just talk to this guy. It's a different way to grow versus just the, you know, corporate investment. So we met and I learned about franchising and I thought, this is brilliant. Like instead of having managers that I've just hired that have no skin in the game, that aren't going to care as much, I'm going to, you know, WestJet owners care and have these franchise partners be the owners of these locations, but it's going to work exactly the same way, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like I started the brand, instead of a manager, I'll just flip it out. It's franchise partner. I'll just tell them what to do.
It's done.
And then didn't realize 2 major things. Number one is that when I started franchising, I was actually getting into a completely new business model than my prior one. Mm-hmm. So prior, my business model was I have customers. My customers are people coming in for manis and pedis. That's the service that I offer. I do a good job on that. This is the business model. What I didn't realize was that when I started franchising, it was now my customers are franchise partners. Mm-hmm. And the service that I am them selling to them is how to open and operate a 10-spot beauty bar with no prior business experience, no prior spa experience, and no prior 10-spot experience whatsoever.
Wow, yeah.
And so it was very different because, of course, I had all of the protocols and policies needed to run the location. I could give a manager that once the location's built up and operating, which is what I had been doing. But now when I'm doing franchising, I'm actually taking somebody from signing a franchise agreement to being fully comfortable operating their own location and every single thing in between those 2 points. And I had nothing ready for that. I did not have that business, even though that was my new business model. And so it was really a lot of scrambling to then get that, okay, like they've just signed on, they're going to want to look for their space. It's my job to help them look for their space. And they should have a beautiful package that says, hooray, we're going to start looking for your space. Here's the scripting. Here's the electrical requirements. Now you've found your space. Let's help you negotiate the best rent. Here's what you're going to ask for. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to say. Now you've got your space and you've got your keys. We got to find you a contractor. We got to build it out and you got to fill it with items that you need and you got to fill it with humans that are going to do it. Here's how to do interviews. Here's how to do marketing. So it was an entire business model that I had to scramble and build while I was flying the plane. Yeah. And so it was through those very patient first 2 franchise partners. And I was like, oh, hey guys, I'm like barely one step ahead of you in some ways and completely not in other ways. And so, that was sort of probably the biggest learning curve was because of that surprise attack of I didn't know. When I first started the other location with the one location, I was like, I know nothing. So like, let's just like, I'm building everything from scratch. Whereas I really thought I had everything in place and found out I didn't for the franchise. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a great example, right? Because it's sort of like you were making a quantum leap, like you were leaping towards something new in your business. And like the decision to make that decision takes a lot of like courage, right? But then sometimes it's like easier because you actually don't know what's involved with making that decision. And then when you make it, and then it's like all the reality of what it takes to like support that decision.
Yes.
Well, so much. So how did you actually navigate that? Like, I'm imagining you running your four locations, you've got your managers, you've got your process. Now you're shifting strategy and there's all these new needs to the business. Like, how did you
I also had a baby.
Yeah.
newborn baby. So that was the first year, was building that franchising business and raising my, you know, 0 to 1 year old in the same time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And building out another store, actually. So you know what? It was really just, I think of business and just stuff I got to do very linearly. Yeah. So it was, okay, well, first they need, I got to send them the stuff. So in order to send this stuff to them, I've got to make their email addresses. Okay, that'll be part one of the new business model manual, is like, once they sign on, get them an email address, you know, and then it's like, okay, step two. So it was really this, like, how does this need, what information do they need and when? Yeah. And then really just creating those protocols for it. So eventually it became this giant gazillion point phase guide that we call it the pipeline. And the pipeline is from getting you, you know, assigned to operational and open. Yeah. And then that got really compartmentalized into the five sections, which was, you know, section one, your onboarding, and then getting you, you know, your financing all in order, getting you your space, the real estate stuff. Phase two was that when you build a bricks and mortar business, you have this like pre-possession phase where you are in the process of signing a lease, but you're also, you know, going to the designers and checking out what it's going to look like and trying to find your contractors. Then you go through construction. During construction, it's that training period for both the franchise, you know, for the franchise partner, getting all your initial orders. Then you got to set up the space. So it's really, it's even writing that manual of like, oh God, okay, now they have all their stuff and then they got to set it up. So let's go in and go station by station. So front desk, here's what the front desk looks like. Here's the computer. Here's where the phone's going to go. Here's like in the drawer. You need this, you know, on hand. You need your gift cards. You need those things. Like really sort of setting that out, taking photos. It's a lot of just, you got to be able to love your computer and love making documents and protocols and policies. And that's really the thing that I actually geek out on so hardcore is that sort of systemization of things. Okay. And that's sort of the key for a franchise business or a multi-unit business, is because you want that same consistency. And the only way to get it is to communicate it, and, you know, to communicate it through, right now, like the tools are, you know, the documents and the spreadsheets and the, you know, the slideshows and stuff like that. And so, you know, in the future, I'm sure it'll be all techie AI stuff, which I'm excited about. For right now, it's just that really nitty gritty of documenting everything and having protocols and sort of policies forever, you know, not policies, but like the how-to of everything.
Yeah. Well, so it sounds like what you really did is, instead of getting overwhelmed by all of it, I'm sure you went through feeling overwhelmed, but like it was more so, okay, literally step by step. Like, what do I need to do now? And then what is the next thing after that? And what's the next thing after that?
And I think that both of those things comes down to two things for me. Number one is like, nothing exists yet. So I don't actually worry a lot about the future stuff, because even with my first location, you know, to think like, oh, what if nobody comes? I don't have anything right now. There's nothing for them to come to anyway. Yeah. So like, walk it back. That's, you know, step 1000 that I can worry about. Okay, what if they don't come? Let me, you know, do another marketing thing. But like, there's nothing, like it's logical. It's like, for the first step, like, find a space. Next up, like, get some money so that I can make this space.
Totally.
So it's like, I never really get too wrapped up in the future because right now it doesn't exist. I only have the present to work in. And then I think that the other thing is that I can only absolutely do my best. I am only in control of me. I cannot control any outcomes or any future things other than working really hard and controlling my own actions, behaviors, thinking, that kind of thing. And so for me, it's just all like head down, do the best I can. Whatever happens is going to happen. Whatever situation I land in the future, then just do my best. And, you know, sort of that, like, keep going with that mentality. So that's sort of how I navigate the scary stuff, is I just don't think about it. And I'm just like, I can't, there's nothing I can do anyway.
You know what? I think that so many, it's so important to hear, because I think so many people get caught up in fear and it paralyzes them from even making that first step. Like, they're already worried about opening the door and nobody coming, right? Like, they're already there.
Yeah.
So then they don't even, like, just think about what people hold themselves back from experiencing because they don't, they're not willing to, like, you know, just stay in the moment and take the steps. And instead it's going straight to opening the doors and nobody coming. And then realizing that even if that were to happen, there's still, like you said, you're still in control of yourself and what you do from that point. You can still do things to get people to come, even if they don't come that day.
Exactly,
you
know? Fix it then. I'm wasting my time, energy, and effort worrying about it now.
Yes.
And it might not even have, it might be just, you know, we had this problem where, like, we had too many people coming in. It was like the different type of business problem. And so I really do just believe in, like, just do everything that you can in the moment, in the present. Try to, you know, control, just be really tight about, you know, all of your, just only you can control you. So do that to the best and then don't worry about the rest.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. So clearly over 18 years, you've been building your business, but then life is also happening alongside that, right? You're having a baby and then you're getting divorced. You mentioned this already. And, like, I'm sure many other things along the way. How, like, what sort of did you learn, maybe the hard way through those 18 years? Like, was there sort of like some of the learnings that you have now that are so clear to you that are like insights that you now pass on to others, but that you had to learn the hard way?
Oh, I learned everything the hard way. I think when you're a person that has to learn by doing, you're always going to be learning the hard way. Because nothing that other people say to you, I mean, unless you're like actually in the situation, you're going to, you know, really, I don't think it's out of like arrogance or just like, oh, I know better than you. It's just like not in that moment. I don't know what you're talking about truly. So even when we first started franchising, people would say to me like, oh, you're not in the spa business anymore. You're in the franchise business. And I'm like, what are you talking? I don't understand. Like, what are you talking about? Of course I'm in the spa business. Like, I have my customers and my things. And it wasn't until that sort of after you're like, oh, I understand now what you were talking about. I get that. Like, that's, I'm still in the spa business. I still have my thing. It's just completely different than what I thought it was going to be. And so, I think that, you know, for me, I'm okay with the fact that I had to learn all of the hard lessons because I would not have grown. I don't actually think that true growth can come from everything being great all the time. That's awesome. I love, you know, being in the joy stream of things, but I do think that that growth has to happen through some of that, that tension and that pressure to move you up a notch and move you out of your comfort zone and into a different level. And so I actually think that being naive to that kind of, I think I have this attitude where everything's going to be easy and fast and it never is. And I actually don't ever want to lose that because
because it keeps you doing the thing.
I would never do it. If somebody, if I literally got to be, you know, again, if I got to be future me and I got to see actually how hard that was, actually how much time, actually how much effort, how many additional things I had to do or figure out, I won't do it. Nobody, you know, I don't think anybody would at the, you know, at the end of whatever journey you're doing. It's just, it's too much. It's too overwhelming. And so I actually really am happy that, you know, the least you know about something is always going to be at the beginning. And and just to really go into it with that, with the positive attitude, because I think that there's only really one way to live, and that mm-hmm. is to have a positive perspective. And that's not to be, you know, I feel like there's this like toxic positivity. I'm like, oh, that's like, I actually find that's like such an annoying phrase, because I'm like, it's not about having blinders on to reality.
Yes, yes.
It's about knowing that, again, I can only control me. And I can only control my perspective. And there is no point to going into anything with a negative perspective.
Yes.
Because I don't know the outcome and I can't control the outcome. And I can only control me. And so going into it thinking, this is going to be great. This is going to be easy. I'm going to figure this out. It's I find that it really is that sort of, you know, the key to getting through anything is to have the right perspective about it, in it and before it and all the time. Just...
Yeah. Well, in a way, I mean, not in a way, you are shaping your experience of it then, right? Because you're like stating, you're going into it thinking that it's going to be easy and it's going to work out. And then even if it doesn't, you are in that, like, you know, you've set that intention that that's how you're going to experience it. So you don't take then a hurdle or a challenge as like, oh my God, it's not working. See, I said it wasn't going to be hard and now it's hard. And instead you're like, I got this.
And at least I didn't waste time prior thinking it was going to be crap. Like I at least got to enjoy some positive time.
Yeah, totally.
In the moment, I'm like, oh crap, this is bad. Yeah. It's, you know, okay, well. You know, right? And then the best case scenario, it's awesome. And you get two pluses. You're like plus before and plus during and, you know, we're good.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. And so how about like, tell me more about, I mean, because you, obviously you're balancing so many things and entrepreneurship is like all encompassing, right? Tell me how like your personal life, how you sort of manage your personal life interwoven with your business.
Yeah, it's funny because this is actually something that I'm so passionate about. And actually I'm working on a new business endeavor that is exactly about this. Mm-hmm. And so what I found is that I actually did go through a period where it was like not good. Like just, it was, you know, life was too chaotic and I was not where I wanted to be and things, you know, were not working out. And so it's funny because through business and through entrepreneurship and learning what makes a successful business. So the, in terms of the prioritization and the people and the, what's your purpose and the core values and all the strategy stuff. And then all of the executional elements as well that come along with like, you know, proper planning, making things into, you know, like I find in business, things are more project-based.
Yes.
And having those, you know, having things be more project-based also involves this element of creativity and planning and sort of, you know, you build this energy and momentum towards things. You feel like you're winning at these things. And so I find that there's something interesting in that. And then just the executional stuff of taking action and having those sort of cadences of accountability and tracking. And so I was like, okay, life is a dumpster fire right now. What if I took the same sort of successful things that I helped build my company and my business to be successful? What if I actually applied those to my own life and I treated my own life as if this was a business and I was the CEO of my life? And so I did that. I had to make some executive decisions that were not popular, but were best for, you know, me and my life and my family and that. And then I actually legit like defined my purpose. Mm-hmm. Defined my core values and the core values that I wanted to have in my son's life, and then put them on mugs, put them on posters, and lived those behaviors and had those, you know, had those core values and my purpose guide what I wanted in life. Set up, you know, accountability trackers and set out goals and things that I wanted and achieved, and just sort of really CEO the shit out of my life. And sort of that's actually the thing that I'm working on now is teaching that to other people. So I find that it's tricky in this. There's a sort of narrative I find that it's women who want these really full, amazing, robust lives where they have fulfillment and success in their career, in their, you know, spousal relationship, common law, whatever, like partnership life with their kids, with their, you know, their broader friend group and their communities. And that it's almost like, oh, well, that's like having it all is a lie.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I don't believe that at all. I think it's actually totally doable, but it doesn't happen unless you have that sort of strategy of like, what's the purpose? What are the priorities really? Because you can't prioritize everything and everyone. Mm-hmm. What's your purpose? What are your core values? And then like, how do you actually execute on that and make sure that it happens? And what are those, you know, mindset hacks that you need in the actual like tangible, like really practical tools? Because I find that you don't really get anything profound without really practical things, you know, and then you don't actually get anything practical done, you know, if you don't have that profound anchoring for why it's important and why you want to do it. So that's what I did and what I'm working on right now.
I'm so
excited about it. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to give you a chance to share more about that shortly. One of the things that I talk a lot about with my community is this idea of connecting to your inner voice, right? Because there's so many inputs, right? Like like even now, it's so funny because I'll read books from 30 years ago and they're saying then that the world is noisy and we need to go within. And I'm like, oh my God, like it's gotten like a million times noisier, right? Like it's just-
You have no idea what's coming.
I know. That's the crazy thing, right? So that's why it's so important now that we do go within, that we do shut out all the external noise. And, you know, like putting aside social media and the news and all of that, there's just even our inner circle, like our how we were raised, the people around us. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, as an entrepreneur and, you know, because I'm one too, I know that what is wonderful about entrepreneurship is that you start to find your people, right? Because you like need to connect with people who are along that same journey. And so you like end up finding people who get it, right? Who get where you are. But if you are maybe not an entrepreneur, it's harder to kind of break outside of that, right? Like you have your people at work and you have your friends that you grew up with or that you met in like, you know, university or your neighbors. And all of those voices tend to kind of be constantly hammering at you. And then that's why people sort of feel like, I don't know what I want, or I feel stuck, but I don't know which way to go. And I feel like I should go here, but I really don't want to go there. And I really, really feel so strongly that all women need to reconnect themselves and listen to what is inside of them. And that we already have this knowing. And this like, you know, wisdom within us. And I wanted to ask you, how do you connect to that wisdom within you? How do you connect to your inner voice?
Oh, a few different ways. I so agree with what you're saying. And in fact, I really think that anxiety is knowing that you know what you need to do and not doing it.
Yeah.
So either not wanting to face that, like, you know, doing that breakup or having that talk or doing that thing, and you're like avoiding it, and you're just like the way you're letting yourself off the hook by it is like not doing it, but it just causes this anxiety and this tension in
100%.
You
100%
actual like being like, yeah, actually I need to do this, and just like put your big boy pants on and like do it is hard, but choose your hard, because living with anxiety is hard, or like actually doing that thing is hard. So I totally agree. And it comes from that, like, you know what to do. Like, so just do it. You're going to, you know, you're going to feel better. And I find too that in those moments, you can figure it out by the way you talk to somebody about it. It's like, you will automatically, and even if you have a great friend, they'll just be like, you know, you're trying to convince me of this one option, like, but you're trying to be like, I'm confused, I don't know. And it's like, no. You are like, if we ran this whole convo through ChatGPT and said which decision does she make right now, it would be able to pick up on it. But I think that with knowing that, like, you always know, I think is one of the key things. Like, you always know, and there's always going to be these emotional telltale signs for you. You know, and using emotion to be like, oh, I'm jealous of that. Why? Mm-hmm. Oh, it must be because like I want something in that. Maybe I don't want exactly the same thing, but there's something in like, you know, their freedom that they have or the way that, you know, like the way that they carry themselves. Like I want that thing too. Or, you know, anger being like, there's something in there that is, you know, you're not being treated the way that you want to be treated, or you're letting somebody do this and that, you know, that's whatever it is. Yes. So I think that there's emotions can tell you these things. Mm-hmm. And then I also just think that like cultivating that really great relationship with yourself, because like, if you are not going to think that you're the greatest thing that has ever lived, like who else is going to think this but you? And you like, and why would you not think this? Like if you're not what you want to be, then change it. You have one life. So live it to your fullest, be the best version of you that you can be. But then also just like praise yourself. Like anytime I'm always my former husband, who we're very, very close now together. Mm-hmm. I often joke that I was like, I love him way more now that we're not together than I did in years. But beautiful. He always used to be like, legend in your own mind, hey? And I'm like, yeah, because like, if I do something that's good, I'm going to be like, check this out, self. Like, you're dope.
Wait, Kristen, I need to know, what is your sign?
I'm a Libra.
Okay. Okay.
What is that? What is that? Why? What did you think I was?
I thought you were... I thought you were maybe, and it's because I have like certain people in my life. And so I know about certain signs. I'm not like knowledgeable right. across all the signs.
Yeah, but yeah. You know like, your people.
Yeah. But I have like Sagittarius and Libra and and Leos. And Sagittarius and Leos tend to be really good at that.
They tend to okay. So I think I'm on the cusp of the okay. Sag.
Okay.
And then yep. October 19th.
Okay, so maybe there's a bit of that, yeah.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. So I just love that. Yeah, and I think about myself actually very, I think of myself as like past me, present me, and then future me. Mm-hmm. So I'm always trying to get, like my motivation in life is gold stars. Mm-hmm. And gold stars from other people, gold stars for myself. I just want to get little gold stars. Like I'm little Lisa Simpson, just always... teachers petting it like to myself or whoever. And so for me, I'm trying hard to have present me do great things for future me so that when that becomes future me, then I can be like, past you, gold star. Like you killed it. Way to go. Way to set us up for success. I love you. You're amazing.
Oh my gosh. I love that. And honestly, I'm like, I feel very inspired by that. And I love that your former husband said legend in your own mind, because I'm like, yeah. I think that's incredible. I think we should all be legends in our own mind, right? Like if we really thought about ourselves like that, and like, you know, when you think of a legend isn't about like, you know, like not having hardship or not facing challenges.
Right,
legends
right,
are
right.
about the people who like face those things and come yes. out a legend, right? So it's yes, about yes. embracing the journey. I think that's just incredible. I love it so much.
Oh, God.
I wanted to ask you, Kristen, can you think of a time where you made a decision solely on your intuition?
All of them.
Yeah,
I don't, I really do. I put a ton of weight, on my intuition actually. Like even mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of, you know, when I had the idea for the 10 spot and the first location, it was super fast. Or like, I thought of it that, you know, that night I like rode my bike home and I downloaded a thing from RBC on how to write a business plan, went, submitted, the business plan like the next day and asked for $100,000. And then I remember I got the money and I was, you know, under construction and my dad flew out and he's like, why are you spending all this money? He's like, just like you had this line of credit for either line of credit also for $30,000. And he's like, just use that, like start small, you know, do this, like, you know, make it as like kind of, you know, make shifty as possible and just, you know, did this. And I was like, listen, that is not
the vision
concept. Like that's mm-hmm. not the vision. It's not the thing. I need people to like walk in and be like, this is something so different than I've ever seen versus, you know, what was really there in the landscape was you had the really low end salons. Then you had high end, like Ritz-Carlton, you know, thing. And then you had these day spas, which were exactly kind of that. It was like on a second story, you know, it was sort of, you know, like just like It looks like a house that was put together with like, you know, a spa thing and a little water fountain in the, you know, front hall. Like, I'm not saying that they were all like this, but
yeah,
you know, around that time period, it was very of that. It was sort of like bare bones, you know, work at it. And oftentimes they were owned by the people doing the services. And yeah. I'm not an esthetician. I didn't know how to do that. And so for me, it was really, the vision was to have this place that looked so different, that it had like music blaring and TVs in the thing and, you know, concrete manicure bars where you were sitting with your girlfriend in these stainless steel banquettes. And I was like, that, like, the vision of this is going to require money. Yeah. And it was funny because what ended up happening was that the week before I was set to open, this chick came in for an interview. And I was like, oh, I don't have any interview schedule. Like, I'm done on my hiring. She's like, no. Like, it's like spa on Queen Street, like a nail bar. It's, you know, this and that and like fishing and blah, blah, blah. I was like, that's exactly my concept. What, like, but we don't have a thing. And she's like, oh, is this the address? And I was like, no. She's like, oh, I must be in the wrong place. And I was like,
is another place?
What? Yeah. Three doors down. Okay.
Okay.
Exact same, like, nail bar in between high end, low end, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So I walk in, you know, she's under construction, also opening within like a week. Like, the timelines were wild. And just, you know, I walked in and it was exactly what my dad had kind of said. Like, her place is beautiful. It was so nice. I'm not slagging it in any way, but it was definitely done on that lower end budget of like, I'll do this and then I'll, you know, I'll work my way up and all of that.
That
sort of safer bet. And I was the, you know, opposite, like I blew $110K like on this, you know, space, which now is wild. I would die for it to be that cheap. and it was just like, you know, and within a few years, she was asking if she could buy me out. By that time, I was like, I don't know if that's like even possible for this. And also like, no, like we are just like, we're growing like gangbusters. And then she ended up, it's not there anymore. But to me, I was like, it was a risk for sure. And I felt like, but I know this is what it needs. I know that in order to be successful, I have to take this much of a risk. And if I don't do it to my full vision and my full capacity of what I know it should be done as, it's not going to work. A, because I won't believe in it as much.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have that same like intense energy and passion and desire for it. Mm-hmm. I felt like I know that this is how it needs to go.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I needed to hear that right now, Kristen.
Really? Oh, good.
Because I'm working on some things too. And I kind of feel like there's part of me that like knows this, like, you know, if, you know, there was no restrictions, what would I do? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, that's always a good question to ask yourself, right? If there were no restrictions and no fear, what would you do? And I know what that is. And then there's a part of me that's like, but this, but that. And so like, it was just so good for, I feel like we were meant to have this conversation today,
Of course we were, because everything happens for a reason. But also I do think that there is that like going towards your intuition and really like knowing it and doing it. I think that that's not only the way and it's super beneficial. I think it's also harmful to pull back and not do it, because the thing that you never want to feel is, you never want to say, I knew it. Like, that's to me the worst. That's the worst feeling, because when you say I knew it, it means that like you listen not to yourself, to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then it failed. At least if it fails and it was all on your own, be like, well, that didn't work and it's a learning lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather the learning lesson actually be a lesson versus the learning lesson is I should have trusted myself.
Yeah.
That's a dumb lesson. Learn that one once and then like forget it. Just trust yourself from now on.
Yeah. No, I'm so with you on that.
Yeah.
Thank you for the reminder. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, you know, this podcast is called a Midlife Awakening Podcast. So most of my guests tend to be, I would say,
midlife for sure.
Yeah.
Let's be quarter life, because there's going to be some massive advancements.
Yeah. That's Yeah, you're right. We will get there. This will be quarterly. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I wanted to ask you, you know, obviously you started your business when you were 24 and now that means if you do the math, you're in your 40s now.
Yeah.
How are you experiencing life in your 40s? How have things shifted for you as you've sort of entered this new decade, if at all?
Oh, best ever. Like best ever. I have this thing because 10 is in my name, Chris 10, the 10th thought, you know, 10 fingers, 10 toes. I was born in October, lucky number 10. So I've always had this 10 thing. And then my main mission in life since I was young is I've been very acutely aware of that. Like you get one life. It's short by any means. And that's even if it's long, because you don't actually know when you're going to die. And I find this like, it's such a weird thing because it's like, we're all going to die and we all don't know when. And like the fact that we live in this reality is either like completely like paralyzing and terrifying, or you can use that to fuel you to really strive and just be like, if I got one shot at this, I cannot waste time. I cannot waste this like gift that I have of being here on being anything less than the best version of me and living the best version of my existence that I possibly can. I feel like that's the only like homage that you can give to like being, you know, gifted a chance here.
Yeah.
And so I've always been acutely aware of this fact. And then I've always just wanted to live exactly that, like live my best life as the best version of me. And so in the cutesy marketing, you know, way of saying that to make it, you know, all come together, it's like, I want to live my life at a 10.
Yeah.
And so to me, I find that that is a feeling. It is, you know, if living life is really about, you know, who you are, who you choose to be, who you choose to spend it with in terms of people, and then who you, you know, what you choose to do with your time here, that life at a 10 is choosing to be the best version of you, choosing to give away what you want to get and create like value for the people that you love and connect. Cause I think that there's no better feeling than having a person know you and you know them and them love you and you love them and really connecting with other humans. Yeah. And then it's racking up experiences that either bring you joy and light you up or that you learn from and that you grow from. And so to me, that is what now in my 40s, that it's really, I've lived that way my entire life. And I feel like I've come up with, because that's always been my purpose and always been my mission to do this. And through learning about entrepreneurship and all of these things that sort of, you know, support and make that happen, that it's just about like sharing that now and being like, and especially as you mentioned, we're in this like weird time frame where, you know, back in the pioneer days, like it wasn't this same thing. You didn't have all of these same responsibilities. It was a very much more divided role set where I think you could win. You knew how to win because you knew your role. It was like, you know, whoever's, you know, the man's out there and he's, you know, your partner's out there and he's farming and doing whatever. And, you know, you're doing this and you're raising and you've got your roles and you know your roles and then you can win at them.
Yes.
And I find that there's a couple of things that have gone on. One is that because we have career and kids and self and spouse and, you know, all of these things and friendships, and there's so much, that certain things get prioritized naturally, like kids and career, for good reason. Anybody with other kids and you need money and it's fulfilling and it's important and all this stuff. And I think you know how to win a career easier. So it's like you gravitate towards things you feel good at and that you do well at. And that self and spouse end up getting this sort of, you know, deprioritization. But speaking of someone who was divorced, who got divorced, it's like that's the actual wrong business model. And that when you actually flip it and you're really good and your relationship's really good, this flows down to the kids and career gets easier and domestic life gets easier. And all of this stuff flows down. Whereas the converse is when you go to hell, you know, when you go to shit and your relationship goes to shit, it is like you're not talking, you're not connected, everything's harder.
Yeah.
And you walk that down to the point of like, well, now I'm, you know, now I'm divorced. Now I don't get my kid full time. It's only half time. Now I'm in an apartment. Now I've lost half my money. Like, it really can get bad. And so for me, it's, I think that having life in a 10 is about, you know, getting that sort of, you know, the CEOing the shit out of your life, which is like getting your priorities straight, getting the people stuff straight, getting the purpose and your core values, and, you know, making sure that you're prioritizing the real stuff that matters and that you're doing it, not just adding to, you know, because I think too, it ends up to exhaustion. Like, having a big, full, busy life can be exhausting, but you have to figure out ways to actually create energy and create, you know, excitement and enthusiasm. And I think that there's very standard, non-magical, mystical, like, actually do this and you'll get this, do this and you'll create energy, do this, it'll drain you of energy.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And so that's sort of what I'm, again, just like it, as I'm becoming a, you know, an elder, wiser version of me, I can pass these things on to, you know, the generations and not have them make the mistakes that I did. Again, love learning by
going through it.
So
I love what you shared, and I would actually love to hear, how do you create energy? Like, how do you for yourself create energy?
So I think there's a bunch of factors. Number one, I think that energy is created through purpose. Mm-hmm. So knowing, you know, like purpose in a few ways. One, what am I, you know, what matters to me and why does it matter? Mm-hmm. And then anchoring, you know, what you're doing to that. So, so that when things do get exhausting, like, you know, even just very basic and practical, it's like, okay, well, I would like to have family dinners because not all the time, because let's be honest, absolutely impossible, but 2-3 nights out of the week, I want to, you know, have a sit down family dinner, because to me, the purpose of that is that I want my kids to look back and say, oh my God, we always did family dinner and actually was so nice and blah, blah, blah. And then I want them to do that with their family see the value and see the thing. That doesn't happen if you're like overwhelmed and you shut your laptop down at 5 p.m. like, what are we eating? It's like, I don't know. It comes from those, you know, practical things of like on Sunday, you know, being like, what are we, you know, okay, out of the 3 days a week, these are what we're going to do. And let's order some groceries, buy some groceries, whatever.
Yes.
So I think that there's rooting something into the purpose so that you can do the practical things and not have it be such a drag, but know that there's a reason behind it.
Yes.
I also think purpose in terms of just like, you know, some of the stuff that can feel emotionally taxing, for me, I don't go into any situation without knowing like, what's my mission? Like if there's a dinner party with a bunch of people, what's my mission? Well, you know what? I haven't connected with this person in a while. So even though there's 12 people at this party and your attention can be, you know, fragmented and you can end up just feeling like all it is like, no, my mission is to have like 2 deep, awesome conversations with this person. And you almost get energized where you're like, mission accepted. Like, I'm going to figure out a way to, you know, like you just sort of, the energy gets created there.
Yeah.
I also think that it's in projects. And so, you know, I don't know how, like, you know, I'll be like PG about this, but like, you know, one of the things that's very important is connection with your person. And connection comes through a variety of ways. Conversation, you know, through like, you know, just like hanging out, doing activities. And it also comes from that like aspect of being intimate. And I find that that's something that can go so fast because life takes over, you know, there's like, becomes deprioritized. It's not a thing.
Yeah. It's one of the first things that comes deprioritized.
And it's so
like the solid relationship. Like it might not be in the first year, but then
Yes. And so making it like, okay, this is going to be a priority because who hasn't ever like done that and been like, oh my God, we should do this more often. Cause you feel connected and bonded with that person. Yes. So knowing that it's like, it's always worth it. Mm. Knowing that it is a priority. Yeah. And then how do you actually make it so that it's fun and like exciting and then a want to, and not a have to. And like, I hope that like, you know, he doesn't come in and want to like, no, no, no. Like, this is like, oh, you know, oh, I'm full. It's like, make it something that's, you know, fun. And so I find that making stuff into projects actually does exactly that. And projects can be like, you know, for kids stuff or for, you know, social stuff or whatever. but for that one very important thing. So for me, I have in my mind, I'm like, okay, every month I'm going to do something weird that's like, and not weird like kinky and then, but just like weird that's a project.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? I'm going to do a funny, you know, he's going to come home and I'm going to be like a 1950s housewife. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm going to make him a meal. And then I'm like, that's the concept. I'll just, right. This will be a thing. So then what happens is I'm like, okay, let me go and get like a cute little blonde wig, Amazon, blonde little wig. Great. Okay. Ooh, I need like a little house, like a cute little 1950s dress. Oh, a vintage store. Let me go there and like find it. You know,
right.
And then it's like,
so yes, you're like, yes, I love it.
And then you're like, ooh, when he comes home, I'm going to like serve him like a Manhattan. And you're like, ooh, how do I make it Manhattan? Let me go to the, like, so then by the time you end up doing this thing, which A, makes that person feel like you thought about them.
Yeah.
You put in this effort. You've put energy into this, into the person, into the relationship, into the connection, the thing. But you had so much fun doing it, you know?
Yeah, and like on your own, you were just like the preparation was fun.
Like, this is just my special thing. Like, yeah. I got to like Amazon stuff and it arrives and you're like, oh my God, so funny. And then you're like, which day are we going to do this? Okay, he's going to go here and then I'll have time to do this. And then like, so it's all of this plotting and planning. Yeah. And then that builds like creativity and fun and novelty. And that is such a giant ball of like energy and enthusiasm to something that is strategically very a priority than just, roll over after Netflix and we're both like tired, which still happens, but it's at least that thing made the Netflix night, you know, like,
Netflix night more after you've like planned this night.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love it so much. That's so good. I feel so inspired and energized by our conversation.
Thank you. Oh my God. It's so funny because actually I'm so, because everything that I'm talking about today is actually in the program.
Yeah.
So I'm so delighted it's landing because I'm working on the curriculum for it right now. So
okay, amazing. Great. Well, I would love, I have a few more questions for you, but I wanted to, I think that's a good segue. So like, I was going to ask you what is coming up next for you. You know, of course, besides building your 10 spot empire. Tell me more about what it is that you're working on.
Yeah. It's funny because I had, you know, for years I've had this, this idea. And at first I was like, maybe I'll write a book, you know, but like with all this stuff that I've been talking about today. And then I was like, maybe I'll speak about it. And, you know, it was sort of this, one of these things. And then as it went on, I was like, this is actually like so many, it's this weird kind of thing where like, oh, it's at this perfect time where, you know, online learning is more of an accepted, you know, thing and something that people actually want to do because people want to learn on their own time and just be able to even multitask and be cooking and learn. Like right now I'm doing a nutrition course. Like I take so many online courses. And then there's also this, so it developed into that. And then as I was writing out the loose outline for the curriculum, I was like, I think that there really needs to be this sort of coaching component to it because it's one thing just to, you know, put it out there, but then the other to just really dive in and go through and, you know, as people are working through the material, have me and being able to answer questions. And then through that, just having a community element so that, you know, there's more of that like daily kind of touch point. So that's essentially what it is. Mm-hmm. It's the, it's the Life in a 10 program, but what I teach you is how to actually CEO the shit out of your life. Mm-hmm. And achieve sort of, you know, go from that overwhelmed state of having it all, but feeling overwhelmed to actually feeling like lit up and energized and able to take on more and want more and really just sort of, you know, level up to striving and living for a life at a 10. So, oh my God, it's been a year in the making. One of the things that I really wanted to make sure that I was doing is like delivering value. So that is, really, you know, for me, if someone's going to spend their time, which is their most, it's not actually, I don't believe it's your most precious resource. It's your second precious resource. I think your first precious resource is your energy.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's a renewable resource. So we can, you know, we can re-up on it. But the second one is time. So if I'm going to be having people, you know, spend time and dedicating to learning this stuff, I really want to make sure it's impactful. So I actually did like a whack of these one-on-one interviews with women and just sort of, you know, I put this call out, you know, a couple months ago and we're like, hey, if you are this, this, and this, like, I want to talk to you. And that was so, so helpful just to sort of really make validate what I'm talking about was relevant and helpful and useful and needed in the world. And so now I'm at the end stages of it. So it's going to be launching soon. And then I'm hoping to have one version that is going to be live. So there'll actually be one that will be me live teaching it. Mm-hmm. And that's going to start on October 10th.
Yeah.
At 10:10 will be our first live session.
Nice.
Not for living life at a 10. Yeah. And so that's it's a 6-week program. And then eventually by January, I'm hoping to have it more, all of the sessions recorded and all the modules recorded so that it's a more at your own pace thing. But at the end of it, we build out your, life at a 10 strategic plan, your strategic action plan. So it's got all your, you know, your purpose and your core values and, you know, your goals and your commitments and then being able to track that sort of, you know, monthly, quarterly, monthly, all, you know, all that stuff. But then it's really got, so it's very like lesson based in terms of those, you know, big profound things that you need in order to live life at a 10 with very, like with actually very practical stuff as well. So yeah.
Amazing.
That's the next chapty chaps. For me.
Wow. Well, we'll definitely have to include in the show notes links to connect with you so that people can learn about when the program launches.
Amazing. Oh God, I'm like working on my website too. It's also like finishing the curriculum and then being like, and now I have to do my website. But I love doing that stuff. So I'm building up myself, which is so Geekatron, but like, oh God. Oh, I'm in heaven.
Just well, that's amazing.
Building out my life at a 10 program and website.
Oh, I could see how lit up you are about it. And I love it. okay. I have one more question for you before we wrap up. And this is a question I ask all the guests on the show. And it is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
Oh, well, I think it means to be living on brand with purpose. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think that living on brand is one of these things where like, if you really, again, to like bring it back to a businessy speed, but I think it's so powerful to do this, where if you really are like, what is your unique differentiating thing about you? Not just even like one thing, but like what differentiates you from like everybody else and defining that.
Yeah.
And then just like owning it and loving it. And again, legending in your own mind about like, this is me. Like, it's like, you know, like even for me, it's like my purpose in life is to live the most like experienced, like energetic, action oriented life possible. Like, you know, getting divorced is kind of on brand for me, you know, like why would I not want all those experiences? You know, like it's like, so instead of thinking of things as these failures, it's like, actually, that kind of tracks, you know, I know me,
like owning
I
it,
know, yeah. you know, so really knowing yourself and then being rooted in that, like, what do you want out of this existence?
Yeah.
And then just living that to your fullest, I think is the thing, is following. And to me, purpose is a combination of like, what lights you up?
Yes.
And what are you good at? And then also like, you know, what adds value to others? And I'm not actually like so hung up on this piece because I think if you're just you, you're going to inspire people, you're going to help people, you're going to do things. So I find that it is really that, like, you know, if you're full blown you, living on brand, living out your purpose, you are going to help others, you know, and also too, there's this real accountability piece where it's like, if everybody actually, you know, did that, we'd have a bunch of really lit up, awesome people, you know, I think that is sort of a key component to helping, you know, the rest of the world and other people inspire others. So.
Yes, totally. Oh my gosh. Kristen, I loved reconnecting with you today. I loved our conversation. I loved hearing about your journey in a way that I haven't before, and hearing about, like, you know, how you apply all this to your own life and how you are, you know, now planning to help other women with it. I think it's so amazing. And I'm so grateful that you joined me today.
Thank you. I'm so, so, so thankful and grateful to A, get to be on your show, reconnect with you as well. It's so fun chatting with you. And then, and then also too, just you helped me immensely validating some of the components of the programs, and then getting to talk about it as well, because I am so passionate about doing it and getting it out there and creating a wonderful community of like-minded ladies that just want to, like, kick ass and take names in life.
Yeah, and be legendary.
Yes.
Amazing. Okay. Thank awesome. You so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.